This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Wind came up, the door closed on me, and the children were screaming.
Welcome.
Neverland is mine.
We're going to bring ghosts from all over the world.
Join us. Be sure to bring your death certificate.
Yes, it is me. See, you know, the only thing with my use of this old Halloween intro is it doesn't introduce me, and it doesn't have the new title. But I am your Spider-Pan Jeremy, and this is Neverland, the Fandom Nexus. And guess what? You know, we haven't talked to you in a while. Well, I have, but the fans haven't gotten to hear from you in a while. Well, Lost Boy Phil is here with me.
Hello there.
Yes, he's back again, because we don't have a usual guest as I've had the last couple of weeks. I do have some guests on the. I'm working to get schedule some time, so we will have some guests in the future. But for the next couple of weeks, we've got actually a lot of stuff that we need to cover. I mean, this show has become a tribute show. We did a tribute show. Almost seems like it's maybe been a month ago, but we lost Olivia Newton-John and some other people.
Yes.
And now we've lost Angela Lansbury and Robbie Coltrane. So we're going to talk about them here later on in the show. And the impact that they've had on pop culture and our own personal lives or whatever. However you want to get.
Yes.
I don't know that's that personal, but, you know.
Anyway,
but, you know, they definitely had some impact on us. So we're gonna kind of switch gears on how we do things, and we're going to talk about them a bit. So usually, you know, we start out with stuff like, you know, what have you been watching? And
sure.
I can't say that I've been watching anything significant other than getting ready for some Halloween fun. And it's been more about what I've been playing than I've been watching. I've been so worn out. I've been working really hard, and I've been coming home and just crashing out. So
I've been watching some very interesting things. I tell you, just looking up over there at your...
Yeah,
your,
you can't turn your head and look at me. No, away from the microphone.
I just looked up there, and I saw your calendar. It reminds me of a few things I've been watching. I've been watching a lot.
Jack Kirby documentary
Jack Kirby. One of the really interesting things I was reading about and watching as well, during Jack Kirby things, and I was very interested. You know, the original thing that I was thinking about, I can't think of his name right now. The guy with the eye patch, what's his name?
Captain Jack Sparrow?
No.
Nick Fury.
Nick Fury.
I had to go pirate, you know.
Okay, Nick Fury. Some people say the whole thing with, you know, by the way, I love Samuel L. Jackson, but when I think of Nick Fury, I think of the original Nick Fury.
We think of David Hasselhoff.
Well, not David Hasselhoff. I don't know if you know this, but did you know that the original Nick Fury was based off of Jack Kirby?
Jack Kirby himself.
But I found out the reason why. The reason why it was based off Jack Kirby, because originally he was known as Sergeant Fury when they first had Sergeant Fury and
the
Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
But because that whole thing was based off of what he knew from World War II. And so he based a lot of those commandos off of people he knew. And so there's not a disrespect to Samuel Jackson whatsoever. But the only thing that I don't like about them changing the whole Samuel Jackson thing is I really like knowing about seeing how much Nick Fury was supposed to be like Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
And there's so much, for instance, the cigar smoking thing that he did, that was a great tribute. Plus he looks, and this is Jack Kirby's own words. He said, he looked like me, except he says, I am not a strong man, nor, he goes, and, you know, give her 2 inches or so. He was not that tall.
Yeah.
He goes, take away a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he purposely is supposed to look like him. And really, looking at some of the pictures from the that they had of him from back in the days of the war, he did look very similar, except, you know, some of the gray hair that was there was given to him from when he was drawing him.
Right.
Which I thought that was really kind of cool that they did that. And the whole eye thing didn't come until they made him into a spy guy. You might say, well, why did they make him a spy guy? Well, the reason was because at the exact same time when they was doing the whole Howling Commandos storyline, that's also when James Bond was coming big, and also Uncle. So that the whole, what was it called?
The Man from Uncle.
Yeah. So that's when they decided to come out with this, you know, whole Uncle thing, U.N. They did the same thing with S.H.I.E.L.D. So yeah. That whole thing came out that exact same time because, man, they were just so brilliant. They really were, you know, that what a great team was Jack Kirby and, of course, the great Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And
that's still the thing that I still find insulting with that Captain Marvel movie when he should be this war hero and have lost his eye and something, and they turned into an alien cat just scratched it out on a whim. That just, it really takes away from what, that should have some meaning for veterans who come back disabled from combat.
Yeah.
That meant something to them to have Nick Fury's lost an eye. I can relate to that because I lost, you know, my arm or my leg or my eye, you know.
The stories and stuff that I was reading, I have the books and stuff I bought because I got so much out of that documentary. I bought books and things telling stories about Jack Kirby, where I learned a lot of these things. Just amazing. He just a great, great artist and writer, creator. And I'm just so thrilled that I can read all these things now from now on. So that one documentary put me through a whole spin of more and more I want to learn about him and Stan Lee and them.
There is an official Facebook group that is The Art of Jack Kirby. And they post stuff. I get stuff from them all the time. They'll show his old covers, pages out of his old comics. And it's run by like the Kirby Estate.
I really wish they would bring out action figures. You know, they've brought out some of Stan Lee. I wish now
a Jack Kirby figure would be cool.
I want one of Jack Kirby, but I'd also want one of help me, Jeremy, the guy who drew Spider-Man.
Steve Ditko. Yeah.
And
although the cover of the Amazing Fantasy 15 was Jack Kirby.
Yeah, it was Jack Kirby, yeah.
Although Steve Ditko did come up with the design of Spider-Man, and then Jack Kirby drew that awesome cover.
Now, originally it was going to be Jack Kirby, but this is the words of the great Stan Lee. Stan Lee said, he goes, I guess Jack Kirby just couldn't help himself. He made him muscular, made him big. And he says, No, cool. I don't want him like that. You know, he goes, I want him. And he goes, skinny, fine. He goes, take it a little creepy. Take it to someone else, he said. So he did. And
Steve Ditko, though, he's good at making weird and creepy and had that great, cool style that later he went on to work on Doctor Strange.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Speaking of like that Jack Kirby thing, if you look over there, I finally, and I posted some pictures up there, I've gotten my Firestar in, so I now have all the Spider-Man and Amazing Friends. I don't remember who's, I think Hasbro has got the Kenner line, and they've been putting out these Marvel Legends figures that are all like, what are these, like 3 1/4? Yeah, 3 3/4. Yeah. 3 3/4. But they also put out a Spider-Man that's an Amazing Fantasy Spider-Man, where he's wearing black and red, and he's got some webbing underneath his arms. But you see the artwork that they grabbed the artwork. The Jack Kirby artwork is on the backboard.
Yeah,
I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I still have space for at least one more of them figures, so I think I'm going to try to find a Captain America and put him in there.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
But I got, I'm filling out my wall. I still need to find myself a Flash, which, oh my goodness, I've been putting together a cart like through a Walmart.com, and I did find a Flash, but in order to get like saving my cost of shipping or whatever, I have to order a bunch of other stuff. So I've been
I do that
compiling a stuff together that I can't pay for yet, and one of them was my Captain America that I'll put up there.
But sometimes I'll buy things, you know, we're talking about this, I'll find things that I want to get for other people, you or whoever, for Christmas, and I've already got some of your stuff, you know, and a few other things. I'll just put it all together, and I always find a way, like, oh, if someone else gets that, I'll get something else for someone else. You know, that's how I do.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on putting it together. But I just, speaking of the Jack Kirby, I was like, yeah, it's got the Jack Kirby over the box. It's so fantastic.
So I've been watching so many things, you know. It's amazing.
Well, that's, we'll leave it to the one thing, because that's something that's on Tubi, if y'all can do streaming. Yes. And it's a, there's a Jack Kirby.
And it's free. What is it called? Tubi's free. Oh, yeah, it was a... Oh, forgive me. I'm having a hard time.
Right, but if you do a search for Jack Kirby, you might find it.
Yeah.
I need to sit down and watch it.
It's more or less, it showed how he was a hero, because I didn't realize
he wasn't. Save it for Let Them to Watch. We need to keep moving.
He wasn't the only hero, but it's basically how he, right after D-Day, and he went into battle with a bunch of other men, and not a whole lot got out of that, incidentally.
But now for... the what we've been playing, I'm going to go and take a what I've been playing. Now, I don't think I have video up of this gameplay yet. But if you go to the Neverland official gaming channel, I have been doing Scare Play for 2022, and I've got video of Resident Evil 4 that's running right now, I think maybe I did put the Evil Within 2. No, I don't think I put the Evil Within 2, but... now, and this has been an interesting conversation with my wife, actually, because I've been playing The Evil Within 2, which is, it's kind of an older game, I guess, by now. It's been out for a few years, but I played the original one last year, and I was trying to, watch some of my video on YouTube just to try to reacquaint myself with some of the story of what goes on in these games, of why it's all going, and my wife was looking at some of this horrific stuff, and I don't do horror movies, not at all.
Yeah, I hear you.
But yet I do these games, and she's like, I don't understand how you can play these games. And here's how my brain works, and why I do enjoy these games is because I put it simply, because I get to fight back. But it's more than that. I enjoy these games because I get like some of the most ultimate major forms of evil, and I get to go whoop its butt.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know, I think it's partially cathartic. I don't, you know, these games are kind of scary. I never really get frightened by these games. But I get these horrific, horrible... because, I mean, sure, I love to play like a Spider-Man game, and I get the great villains. I'm like, oh, there, it's exciting to see. But these horror games give me absolutely the most horrific villains and horrible things that I can defeat, and I can take them down, and I can save the day by fighting these horrible evils. And somehow or another, I think I get a charge out of killing evil, just horrible, nasty, murderous things. You know, as nasty as the stuff can be in there, I'm the one that fights back, you know? It's like, I love that line out of the original Hellboy movie that John Hurt has. Like, there are those things that go bump in the night. We are the ones that bump back.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, and that's, I think that's the appeal for me, is I get to bump back. I'm taking down the evil, you know, I'm taking down Umbrella. And what's neat about The Evil Within 2, now, to sum up some of the storyline of this, is there's a basically the guy who designed Resident Evil 4 came over to Bethesda and designed these games, and what he's got instead of Umbrella, you have I forgot the name of the company. Mobius, which you might, for those of you who study any mythology, know that as like a god of dreams, right? So you have this organization, Mobius, and they have used science and ended up creating something horrible, where Umbrella kind of did it on purpose. They were making bioweapons. Mobius is trying to basically build the Matrix. They think they can solve all the world's problems by hooking everybody into this machine, and your mind will become one with this machine. They create this false world that you're in, and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. But every time they try to set it up, there has to be a core person. The first game, basically the core person was a psychopath, and he made a nightmarish world that you're trapped in and you got to get it out of. This second one, your character that you play is Sebastian Castilla... I keep getting it messed up with, I had a co-worker, was Castilleja was her name. But this is Castellanos. I don't know. He's a Hispanic dude. But Sebastian, they took his daughter and made her the core because they thought, oh, an innocent child, we can build a beautiful world. Well, of course, something's gone wrong. And Sebastian thought his daughter had died in a fire. But no, the fire was a setup and they kidnapped his daughter. And his wife tried to tell him, says, I think someone took his daughter. And he thought, no, you're just in denial. I understand. It's hard for us to lose our little girl, but we have to accept the fact she's gone. But his wife pursued the whole thing and found out about the Mobius thing. Basically, this is Sebastian getting called into the game to get hooked back up to the STEM machine because it's all gone wrong. And so, oh, yeah, your daughter's in here and we've lost her as the core. We don't know what's happening. So the entire mission of the game is trying to go and save your daughter. And I was playing for this for Philip in the car on the way over here. They've taken the old Duran Duran song, yeah, Ordinary World. And you look at the lyrics, try to find my way back to the ordinary world. And you have a little girl who's singing that line. It's like, oh gosh, that's perfect, because it's a little girl who's lost in this nightmare world trying to come back to the real world.
That's a little scary, actually.
Yes. Like, so now this song has become part of my Halloween mix, or there, at least the version that's in Evil Within 2. But I was like, my gosh, that is brilliant. That is the story of the game, because you have a male voice who's also trying to find his way back to the ordinary world, and his way back to the ordinary world is he's got to save his daughter from this nightmare that she's living in, because evil people got into that stem, and of course evil people keep trying to, they think they'll make the world a better place by hooking us all up to this machine, and no, and it always goes bad.
Matrix.
yeah, they really are trying to build the Matrix. I mean, a lot of borrowed stuff, but I really enjoyed this one even more than the first one, because they kind of did an open world to where I could kind of go into their side missions and all this other stuff to go. And what's funny, I'm an 80s gamer, 80s,
yeah,
90s gamer.
Yeah, I hear you.
If you give me a cheat code, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Well, Bethesda was so nice. They make a mode where you can pretty much make yourself invincible, and you can also make your weapons kill everything in one shot.
You should see this guy as in the Ninja Turtles game where he made us pretty much unstoppable. We just
They put it as a thing in the Cowabunga collection where you could one hit everything. And yeah, have infinite lives or whatever, you know, not get hurt. But it was the same thing. So I just played through the Evil Within 2, basically unstoppable. But the cool thing about this, I get to experience the story and have the adventure just as much and still face the scary environments. But, you know, I can finish the game and I don't have to, you know, I can get through a little quicker because I don't have to keep replaying playing a level.
I swear, I feel like when you're playing that, I could hear dun 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 dun. You're running through unstoppable.
Yeah, I was pretty much. But the thing is, I'm going to play it again at some point, but I've now leveled up the character because it's Bethesda. They do Skyrim, so you know you get the role play and level up.
Sure.
I've leveled up Sebastian enough to, I think I can turn off all that modes and still hold my own fairly well. So I'm going to play it again sometime. But I love the fact that they used that song and used it so well, but by choosing who was singing the song. And it had so much meaning to what you've just gone through in the game. And oh my goodness, for us, a horror game, it had so much heart because it's a father looking for his daughter and trying to get his family back, because he finds out his wife was in the machine too, because she was trying to get in to get his daughter and she got lured in. And yeah, she's gotten all twisted and stuff by this machine to where she's the final boss. He had to fight his own wife in there, and oh, it is so dramatic, because it's all this while you're fighting, he's like, don't make me do this. It rips your heartstrings when you're trying to fight this boss battle and you really don't want to. But I got a kick out of playing that this week. So I mean, that's I gotta recommend it if you like that type of game. Now normally we don't do this sort of thing, because if it was a movie and an R-rated movie, I try not to cover those type of things. But being that, you know, this a game, it's an adult bro, it's a mature game. And there's some language, but I really found that great little bit of heart of the father trying to save his daughter. Even though I don't have any children, I mean, 45, and my wife and I are probably just never going to have kids. That's okay. It just kind of worked out. It's a medical thing. Troubleshoot, prevent problems. Windows Media Library. What in the world happened to Windows Media Library? Apparently it had a problem while we were just sitting here shooting the breeze. Okay, but anyways, the next thing we have on here is I want to tell you a story. Real quick before we get into, I have actually a little bit of news. Like over there to your left, Philip, you'll see a roll of fabric over there.
I see that.
And it's got some vintage Mickey and some vintage Minnie. So there's the super, if you happen to live in the Kansas City area or in the St. Joe area, there's this company, Build-A-Quilt, this is the second ad I've done for them in my job. And they're just the sweetest, nicest people over there. And I've been looking at that fabric. I think even when I filmed their first ad over there, it's like, oh, this is really neat.
I really like it.
And I was talking to them, so how much would it cost me to try to get some of that fabric and some other fabric and try to put together a quilt? And they said, it's in the end, it's probably going to be around $300 to get this quilt made, because you can get your fabric and all your stuff and they'll put it together for you there and all that stuff. And, as I was leaving, they were so happy with me, and because they requested specifically for me to come back to do the ad. They really appreciated my work and everything, and I have a good old time talking to them. They're super sweet people, and the guy's like a veteran. He's got his POW MIA flag flying outside this day with an American flag. Yeah. But they gave me that. I don't know how much fabric it is. I need to go through. But the one that I was looking at, they just gave it to me. Thank you, because, you know. They're just the sweetest, nicest people. So really, y'all, this is a free plug for them. If you happen to be around the St. Joseph, Missouri area, or if you like to sew or are interested in this, Build-A-Quilt. I can't think of what road it is, but if you go look, they're on Facebook. I think they even have a website. Just Build-A-Quilt. Kind of like Build-A-Bear, only it's Build-A-Quilt, because you get to pick out your designs, everything for this quilt, and you can learn to make it. They have classes, or they'll make it. So now we're actually working on, Heather found a pattern to do like a Mickey head
on the opposite side, where, because, you know, on a quilt you normally have the squares and you can put a pattern. So we're thinking about maybe doing that. Then once we get it all assembled, I might take it over to there and then pay them to do the full assembly for me. We're still working on that. But I thought, yeah, how sweet and nice of them. And it's vintage Mickey. It's got like since 1928 written on it and all kinds of little headlines. But it's got an old classic an Mickey and Minnie on there.
It says American classic, and it has all sorts of wonderful writings on it about Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah, no, it'd be a great underside to a quilt.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a quilt made, and it's all thanks to them. And they're just wonderful. I love it when I get to work with wonderful, nice, sweet people.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
So, yeah, just great, wonderful people. So I enjoy going there and filming over there, and they remind me of, you know, I actually took a quilt my grandmother had made that me had teddy bears on it. It's in really bad shape now because she gave it to me when I was like 5 or 6 or something, and I still have the quilt. And I had that quilt on my bed till I was probably in my 20s.
I kept it.
But they gave me some cleaner. Well, they sold me some cleaner the first time I was there that worked really good to just clean it and get a lot of years of sweat and whatever sleeping. So it's been really nice. I mean, it's got a lot of damage on it, but at least it's clean. And they said, well, the best thing you can do with this is it can't really be repaired. But you can display it. Maybe you can hang it on a thing. So, but they sold me some really good stuff to clean it out. Then I had to clean it out. In the tub. Sorry, I'm drinking soda.
I've had a lot of quilts throughout the years. Most of them for sake of memories.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of quilts, and some have not survived. But that's just how that goes, you know.
Yep. That's life. Yep. That's life.
That's what the quilts done said.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
I really just have a couple of things that I wanted to hit in on. One of them being, I actually saw this thing. You realize we're at the 30th anniversary of Mortal Kombat.
Is that right?
That's right. 30 years ago, Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat!
Of course, that was more of the movie, but yeah, this is the original game, and I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, 1992. Holy cow. And so I saw some things on that, and I had to, of course, bring that up. Now, I've got something. I don't even remember what this is, but there was something I found on YouTube. Oh, yes. I'm a little behind the times on this, but I do have a little teaser for an upcoming game for the Nintendo Switch. I don't remember if it actually says anything in this. I think it might be all music. but coming May 12th, 2023, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. This is the sequel to Breath of the Wild. Which, Breath of the Wild, I mean, it's pretty good. I didn't like the style of it, but a lot of people really did. I didn't like my weapons breaking all the time. And I didn't like having all these little shrines dungeons. Using them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and depending on what type of weapon you have... You know, your shields would break, so you'd have to carry a bunch of shields, a bunch of bows, a bunch of swords, or, you know, because you would break them when you use them after a while, and that drove me crazy. I hated that aspect. That and the shrines. There was, like, hundreds of shrines, and you had to do, like, 5 shrines to either get one extra heart or a piece of endurance added on. And it was just a grind. So I didn't have as much fun as other people did with Breath of the Wild. But there's a lot of stuff in Breath of the Wild. Even though I've completed the game, defeated Ganon, there's so much that I have not done in that game, but I kind of don't want to. But here we go, Tears of the Kingdom. And, you know, let's be honest, I'm probably going to get it as a Legend of Zelda
game. Oh, I know you will. let's just throw that probably out.
Yeah. Yeah, there are some Zelda games that I don't have, quite a few of them, but, you know. That did look pretty cool. But that's coming Nintendo Switch here this coming May. Maybe somebody will buy one for my birthday.
I was going to say, this man is a fanatic when it comes to Legend of Zelda. Man,
I wouldn't say fanatic, because there's tons of Game Boy games and tons of games that I have not
played in the play. Okay, but you're a big fan.
I enjoy them.
You had posters on the wall of Legend of Zelda for many, many years.
Yeah, I did. Over in my gaming area back in the apartment, which now I don't have room to put my posters up.
Yeah, Link.
I had 2 posters.
You linked everything together.
I was linked in.
Yahoy!
So now the other thing, all right, we talked about Mortal Kombat 30 years. You know what happened 10 years before that?
Street Fighter? No, I have no idea.
No. By the power of Grayskull.
Ah.
I have the power. 40 years ago, we have had the power. That's We've had Masters of the Universe now for 40 years. They actually had a big event celebration this past week at a place in Las Vegas. I've been seeing Cam Clark has been posting to Facebook because he was the voice of He-Man in the 2002 series, also known as the voice of Leonardo, Liquid Snake, so many different voices. He's done voices in games, cartoons, all kinds of stuff, man. There's a really great photo he has with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, because
Dolph Lundgren was there too. And
that's great, man.
Pixel Dan, if you watch him on YouTube, has been showing all kinds of fun things that Mattel has announced. But we're gonna get this a little bit of some detail that I was digging up. He-Man and the accompanying Masters of the Universe franchise would make their debut in 1981, it says, with Mattel's release of the original Masters of the Universe 5x5-inch action figure toy line. Of course, this says 1981. It's 82, so maybe this is when the animated series kicked around. Masters of the Universe, often abbreviated as MO2, would begin its mythos through mini comics that accompanied the toys through the 1980s. These initial mini comics were soon followed by several children's books and issues of DC Comics. However, the Masters of the Universe franchise would become best known through Filmation's groundbreaking He-Man and the Masters of the Universe animated series, debuting in the fall of 1983. Okay, the Filmation series ran 130 episodes over two seasons until November 1985. Now, I think this article thing I'm looking at, because they're talking about debut in 1981. That is clearly not accurate.
No, it's 82, yeah.
Yeah. Which I remember seeing some of the ads, and I didn't understand what was going on. And when I started school, because, I mean, I'm going kindergarten at this time, but I would see the lunch boxes where you'd have Castle Grayskull in the background and He-Man in the front fighting with Skeletor and some of the other characters on a lunchbox. I didn't know what was going on, and I don't think I really got into it until 83 is when they said, the Filmation series popped out. Because even with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that one I was trying to watch Silverhawks on a weekday morning, on a Monday morning over the summer, and a set of Silverhawks Ninja Turtles debuted with that miniseries. But the same thing, it was on an afternoon, and probably what I was expecting was Woody Woodpecker or something on Channel 41, because they had Flintstones, Woody Woodpecker, and all that stuff. They would show Tom and Jerry with do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and the little rainbow thing for, those of you in Kansas City. But all of a sudden, here this Filmation logo comes up. I was like, what's this? And then, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And I was like, whoa, what's this?
Channel 62. It was
I thought it was Channel 41.
No, 62. 62. Channel 62 was a brand new thing.
Yeah,
it just started. Stay home without Channel 62. Don't stay home without us. And all of a sudden, ding.
I wonder what I was wanting to watch then that used to come on. Because this was 4:30 in the afternoon.
They showed it in the morning, and then they showed it at night.
Didn't see it in the morning.
Yeah, they showed it in the morning early, and then they show it in the afternoon. And then they would show it on the weekends. I'm telling you, it was so great because no matter when it was, you was going to find He-Man.
And I only ever saw it at 4:30 in the afternoons.
Yeah, it was like they would show it so often, and so you were going to see He-Man. Yeah, a lot. It was reruns sometimes.
Yeah,
because they only had so many.
They only made two seasons.
Yeah,
worth.
But I didn't care.
It was so great.
The fact is, you were going to see the same one you're going to see, but it didn't matter because, quite frankly, every episode was pretty much the same. And, I mean, it was like
a little bit
for the most
until
part.
They started. Hey, let's introduce some new villains instead of just Skeletor all the time, and they started coming up with new stories and branching out.
One is a big dragon he was fighting and then became friends with, but one would be...
Well, no, that one dragon you're thinking of was never an enemy.
No, I'm just being generic here.
Yeah.
I'm just being generic. I'm just saying one would
they
be that.
They have a figure they made of that guy. I can't think of his
name. I
saw it. Oh, my gosh. I kind of want it.
That's when they were doing those big... Now, the only problem I have with those figures is they're bigger than our regular guys, but, but man, they're great. And they made everybody...
Yes, they had so much cool stuff. And I remember that Master Universe magazine that I used to get.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I still had those issues. I had a subscription to that and Muppet magazine for a good
long
time.
I wish
I still had those.
The one that I specifically bought, my dad was in the hospital in Texas. And I was all excited, not about that, obviously, but I went walking down and I saw that they were bringing out Masters of the Universe, the movie.
Mm-hmm. And 1987.
I bought the official magazine. That was that one, the Masters of the Universe. And they were bringing out the film, and I was like, I got to buy that. And I did, and I was so excited. And I remember I took that apart, and because inside they had a couple of different posters, and I put them on my wall as soon as I got home later on, like a week or two later. And we got to go out. The first thing we got to do when my dad got home, it was my birthday, shortly after, right after he got home. And we went out and saw that movie on my 11th birthday. And it was, my dad was still sick. But he had open heart surgery is what it was. And we went out on my birthday and saw that. And here he was, still ill. And he's like, nope, on your birthday, he goes, you're going to finally get to go out and you're going to see He-Man. And we did.
But since that time...
I remember my dad looked at me and said, you know why? And I said, why is that, Dad? He goes, because I have the power. That's what he said.
That's fun.
And my dad, yeah.
Oh, goodness. I'm having to run some fixes on my media player here. But they have released some special things. They've released a four-pack where they have the Masters Universe Origins line. They've done a new a Filmation-style He-Man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They released a 2002-style He-Man. They released a New Adventures He-Man, which is where he went to space.
Oh, I remember it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I ain't gonna lie. I've been tempted to get some of these.
Yeah. And they also have the new Netflix series, which I'm not keen on. I don't like it. I watched one episode. And I was like, eh.
I hear rumors. Have you heard? They're talking about bringing out finally for us on the new Origins. They're talking about bringing out the motion picture.
Yes, we've discussed that. Yes. It's happening. Yes, but they have also they have finished the crowdfunding for an Eternia set. Now they're bringing that out $500. Yeah, so people have pledged, had to pledge $500, and that's the way you're going to have to get it. You're going to have to buy it online.
I can't do it.
But the other thing, and I'm holding it here in my hands, of the Masterverse line, and these are, like 9-inch figures, I believe?
Yeah, pretty much.
And they've been doing them, they started out with doing the figures based on the Netflix series. I have a He-Man and a Skeletor over here to my right. But they released a 40th anniversary style like that, 9-inch, where it's basically... with more articulation, it's styled after to look like the original figure. Mm-hmm. The only complaint I'd have, and you do have like different hands, and it took me a while to realize this, like the shield to fit on his left hand, like the old figure, he had an open hand, and you could fit the handle of the shield in an open hand. Well, this one, his open hand does not really hold on to this thing at all, and it kind of flails around a little bit loosely, but really this is meant to be just posed.
Yeah.
And they got only, the Origins figure over that I have over there on a counter... on a bookshelf, I got him holding the power sword, and he's got his axe in his sheathed behind his back.
Sheath, yeah.
But this new figure will not let you put the axe back there, but you can put the power sword there. So I've got the power sword behind him, and I have him holding the axe. Overall, though, I had to pay $20 for this, and it was really hard to find. Totally worth it, just because
it is awesome.
It is just awesome, and there's a lot of pieces I noticed are similar to the Masterverse, the Netflix Kevin Smith series. Over here, some of the pieces are the same. It's just a slightly different paint job, mainly on I've noticed the boots.
Yeah,
and even the fur.
The head is
fur
great,
trunks.
Though.
Yeah, the head looks just like the old one. Only he's got darker, sandier hair, but it's got the same face with a little bit more gritty detail. Totally worth the $20. But here's what I'm excited about. Mm. We were talking about this, I think, before at San Diego Comic Con. Yes. They were doing an exclusive, $80. You could get a He-Man and a Skeletor, and they had die-cast metal weapons and stuff.
I saw that, yeah.
And we were wondering, when this He-Man came out, where's that Skeletor? Are they going to release that? Well, I was watching Pixel Dan, and he got to do a tour of Mattel. And they were showing how they're now 3D printing their initial mock-ups of figures. And then they sent them out for production. They were printing Skeletors.
Yay.
But now, I think it might have been this Skeletor from the look of it, but I was almost kind of wondering, maybe I didn't see it right. Maybe it is the Skeletor. And because I would expect that, because there's money in it, they will release it, and I think it might be coming soon. So we will maybe get a Skeletor like this, because if I don't go and, I'm collecting a lot of the different, but I'm mainly getting characters that mean something to me on the Origins line, because I only can fit so many on the wall and so many out of package on my bookshelf. What I've mainly done with these larger figures, I just want a He-Man and a Skeletor. So if I get that, I really liked the redesign of Teela in the 2002. I liked her ponytail and stuff. I liked that hair better. So if they do a Teela like this, like the Masterverse style, I'll probably get that one. Because I really liked that redesign of Teela. I thought it looked a lot better than the old Teela figure.
I have
Teela
a
figure.
Big collection myself, but...
you got a huge collection.
But I've been finding a way to repost things and reset things up.
Yeah, that's every time you get... Because you just recently got a Snout Spout and Leech.
Yeah, I got them today. Yeah. Well, technically, I might have got them yesterday, but I didn't see them.
Nobody went
today.
On the porch to look.
Well, no, my mom put them on inside. But
okay, good.
But
I was about to say, hopefully nobody knows Philip's address and is going to porch fire and steal, because he's got a lot of fun stuff.
But see, put them inside, and I got them today. I fell asleep. I slept all afternoon, throughout the night, and woke up and went upside. She goes, oh, yeah, those are waiting for you since I'd ordered them a long time ago, and I guess they sent them to me. They do that every little while to send me the stuff I order, because I usually wait to have sent to me, because I don't want to have, every time I get something, if they send it every time, that'll be a lot of charging for shipping. So I have it every little while they send it together, and that's just, it's easier that way. A lot of less boxes, too, to be honest. Yeah. But anyway, I enjoy it, because with these quote-unquote deluxes, they'll come with extra heads and extra hands. Yeah. And all. That's a lot of fun. I enjoy that.
Yeah. And I have, I've kept my boxes around. You can see my boxes here in my room for these Masterverse style figures, because the box art on the back is so cool. Mm. And what I love about these Masterverse boxes is they're really easy to just open up, slide out the figure, take them out, you know, grab whatever hands and accessories you want, and then slide everything back in. And then you can, I mean, that's why I like displaying them on the wall, because I love seeing the backing on these.
Yeah.
But I love the box art, the especially of this 40th anniversary one. It's a really great painting of He-Man and Battle Cat.
Yeah.
And so I've got it displaying over there, partially covering up Jack Skellington over
here. One thing I did order, because it was on sale. I don't know if they had made more, at least in this one store, if they had more than they intended or what. I'm not sure. But they were selling the Battle Cat for, what's the name of that show again?
Which one?
The show that we like, that not the newer horrible one, but that we
make sure you turn a little closer to the microphone, because you're
the show that they made a bigger Battle Cat figure. I can't think of the name of it.
Revelation.
Yeah. So I ordered that toy because they had it on sale where they were. I don't know, it was like 15
under the Masterverse line.
Masterverse
pretty much now. Yeah, because the Masterverse is the toy line now that they've put those out.
But either way, I ordered it.
Because that's where they're putting like alternates, even because there's like a new Eternia He-Man, and which, you know, I don't really know anything about it, but this is basically for people who could afford the Classics line through Maddie Collector that were very expensive toys. They managed to help develop the mythology and the lore of this and all these different iterations of He-Man throughout the history of Eternia. As the power was passed,
because it was selling for like 15, where it used to be like 50 nearly, and that sucker.
My goodness.
So I got it for like 15. I'm like, oh, I can handle that.
And is that the one? If you take his helmet off, he's got a very good Cringer look under.
Yes,
I kind of want to get that one just because he could look like Cringer.
Well, I got it in order to put this, you know, the figure you were talking about a while ago of He-Man. I got it just to put that on top, because it's the same size, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why I got it, because I thought that I wouldn't mind having a Battle Cat to put He-Man on.
Yeah.
So that was the reason.
That would just even be more space on my desk than I'm taking up, because these are my desktop is getting pretty loaded over here, because I got some Ninja Turtles, Steamboat Willie, and a Fantasia.
Being a man-child. We're a man-child. That's okay.
We're young at heart. We grow wise. We grow strong. We never grow up.
I get mocked at times, and I was like, I don't care. Shut up. I don't give a darn. Yeah. Honestly, I enjoy myself.
This is but I do it very in an adult way. I budget for it.
Same here.
And this is stuff that kind of just makes me happy, makes me feel good.
But
I still get all my responsibilities.
It's a sentimental thing, really.
Yeah, it's sentiment.
I love looking at them. It's not that you have to have it. It's not like life goes bad if you don't, but you enjoy the sentiment of
memories.
It takes you back to the happier times. That's all it is.
And I have more now than I ever had as a kid.
Oh, same here.
So, I mean, and this is, it's just fantastic. I just love it. And I kind of wish I did have a child to share this with.
Oh, if I did.
That'd be great, but okay.
If I did, I'd give up everything for them. You know that.
Yep. And that's why I would always buy two, so I'd have one to hang on the wall and then one to have out, and me and my son or daughter. I would have a daughter playing with He-Man. Heck yeah. I don't care. They'll come play with He-Man. I'll buy them a She-Ra doll if they want to. Sure.
Yeah.
She-Ra's awesome. I've got one hanging on the wall. That's a television style. But heck yeah, we'd be playing some Star Wars together. We'd be playing some He-Man.
I'd play Barbie with them if that's what they wanted. I wouldn't care.
Sure, why not?
Let them do whatever they want.
Heck, my sister had Barbies. I had some little wrestlers that were the size of He-Man figures. And I said, oh, they're just midget wrestlers. Live next door to Barbie.
You know what I would do, honestly, for my sister? There's times when she felt bad because she didn't have sisters to play with. And us brothers had each other. So when all my brothers were gone, and it's true, I'm not embarrassed about it, but I used to go up and play with Barbies with her.
Sure. If they have a sister, you want to spend time with your sister, you do
and
whatever.
Because, you know, and she would, you know, I'd have adventures with her and all that. And Anything she wanted to do, I would do that with her, because I always felt bad that she didn't have any sisters. So I did what I needed to do for her.
That's kind of the way my sister was, too. And so I would find ways to play with my sister, and she'd have her Barbies, and I'd have whatever. And sometimes I was playing with Ken, you know.
Yeah.
However it worked, you know, and we'd have stories or whatever. Sometimes it was dramatic. Sometimes it was like a rather regular soap opera.
Yeah, that's what it was. Honestly. Dramatic. That's...
Yes, sir. Okay, well, there's a bit more detail on He-Man I was going to do, but we need to keep the show rolling. Sure, and sure. So we need to go visit the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
Now, there is one trailer I almost was going to do, but I didn't think it felt appropriate to the show. Violent Night, and this is actually Scott from the Disney Indiana posted this to the Facebook page, and I was like, what is this? And I kind of laughed. It's kind of violent, but it kind of made me laugh. And basically this is I forgot the actor's name now from Stranger Things, who plays the sheriff.
Oh, I like him.
I don't like a lot of his opinions on stuff, I've liked some of his characters. Yeah. But he's playing Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He comes to go and visit this one home, and it turns out this family's been taken hostage by John Leguizamo and his gang, who they want them to break into their vault because it's a wealthy family. But the little girl's on the nice list, and these bad guys are on the naughty list. And even one of the bad guys, why are you helping her? Because she's on the nice list, but you're on the naughty list. And so basically, it's almost like a Die Hard movie, but it's Santa Claus some butt. And they're doing it. They're kind of tongue in cheek and being kind of funny about it. So I kind of want to watch it, but I don't really want to cover it in so much on the show because it's probably going to earn that R rating and be a bit over the violent for what we normally cover. But what I do have, like, six different trailers have built up over the last couple weeks. And this one, Jason Momoa's got something coming up on Netflix that actually looks kind of cute. Slumberland.
Oh, yes.
Are you excited for your first day of school?
My dad said schools are basically prisons.
School is not a prison.
Can I leave whenever I want to?
It's a little like a prison.
Where'd you go to school before this?
I didn't.
My dad and I lived in a lighthouse. But now he's gone.
I want to show you something.
That's my dad.
Back then, he told me stories every night about wild adventures we were going to go on. Make it up. Sweet dreams.
Pig? What? How is this possible?
Welcome to my world, kid.
Slumberland. World of dreams.
Your dad and I were partners a long time ago.
Your Flip? He told stories about you every night.
We're going on a little treasure hunt. This treasure lets you wish for whatever you want here in Slumberland.
I could see my dad again.
We go through this door, everything changes.
Okay, what are we waiting for?
That's a spirit. Rule number one, stay focused. You slip up, you'll never see the waking world again. Rule number two, keep a low profile. We're not here to have fun.
Last one, there's a rotten dream!
No dream lasts forever. Sooner or later, it's time to wake up.
I don't want to wake up. I just want to see my dad again.
Bigger than you thought.
Life is waiting for you, Nemo. You can do anything you dream of.
So long, sucker!
You said we weren't here to have fun.
I said you're not here to have fun. If I'm not having fun, I'm doing my job wrong.
November 18th, coming to Netflix. Slumberland. Let's see what it says here in the description. Welcome to Slumberland, the world of dreams. Jason Momoa plays Flip, an eccentric outlaw on a mission to help a young girl, played by Marlo Barkley, travel through dreams and flee nightmares in hopes of reuniting with her father. From the director of The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and Mockingjay, Slumberland comes to Netflix November 18th. Now, what I kind of wonder about this is, I think it's her dad, calls her Nemo. And wasn't there like a Nemo King of Dreams or whatever? And I wonder if it's kind of based off of that and they just maybe gender swapped. I do wonder about that, if that's what actually this is. All I know is it looks like a lot of fun, and yeah. I want to check it out.
Oh, me too.
That'd be good for the holidays, November 18th.
Yeah, that's
make sure you're facing your microphone.
That's as sure as echo what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right in time. That's the type of thing. Now, here's something else that's I wasn't sure if I was going to share this. There is some content on this I'm curious about, but it looked interesting. It's Wendell and Wild, and it's from director Henry Selick, who directed The Nightmare Before Christmas and Coraline. Hmm. So,
take a deep breath.
I know what you are, Cat. You're a Hellmaiden. But it has to be our secret. That's how I can protect you.
Protect me from what?
Your demons.
Whoa! I'm having a vision!
A green-headed girl.
She seems so real.
Greetings. We are the Magician Mortician, the artiste of the afterlife.
So, as your masters, we order you to turn around and,
You're tripping.
All right.
Cat's demons
are raising an army of the dead.
Ding dong.
Got you.
My demon's my problem.
Good morning, RBC. Reports of my death were greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. I don't do friends. Bad things happen to people I'm close to. They die.
I told them.
Wow.
So this is coming October 28th, about another 10 days. Now, what kind of concerns me is, you know, especially with something we got on the air where they're kind of making light of devil and a demon
demonic
child
stuff, yeah.
And demonic stuff, and you have a Hell Maiden. I'm a little worried where they're going with that, despite the fact that this does look like it could be a fun adventure, and maybe she's supposed to be fighting against these two demons, Wendell and Wild, which are voiced by Key and Peele.
Yeah, I like Key and Peele.
Jordan Peele, actually, this was one of his. They for guys who are known for being funny, they like to write some horrible stuff, you know, horror things. So that's kind of interesting. But I guess if you can do a bit of horror with a bit of a wink and a nod of a bit of comedy, it's, you know, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to check it out because I you know, the animation looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm just a little concerned about where they're angling with the Hell Maiden stuff because making light of the devil and the evil and make him seem like, oh, there's stuff about being a Hell Maiden or being a witch, something about it being cool. I'm concerned about that and the impression that gives to kids.
Well,
so I'm a little iffy and sketchy on that one. But
yeah, I'm the same way. The thing is, ghosts. When you say ghost and things like that, it's a little more, you can kind of play that off a little more. But when you start using the words like demons and all, that's a little different.
There's some very serious stuff going on with demons, and to make light and make them seem cool is not a good idea.
And when you play it off like it's just make-believe, that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
But here's something that looks like a lot of fun. A new series, I'm trying to remember what this actor's name is, but he was in the Ant-Man second film, and he's popped up in WandaVision. And I even like his character as Marvel, where he is. But this is called Blockbuster.
Look, there's no easy way to say this. 7 more Blockbusters just closed. You're officially the last one on Earth.
I don't love the pattern that's starting to emerge. Hello?
Come on. I'm the last man standing.
How am I supposed to be the next Tarantino if I don't work in a video store?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what's holding you back.
No one's going anywhere because everything is under control.
That's reassuring.
Just act like one of your favorite bosses from a movie.
Like Boss Baby or Devil's Advocate?
One of those is a baby and one is Satan.
And look at the heights they reach despite their circumstances.
Fair.
But Timmy, this focus, I think we're going to be okay.
An eviction notice?
I felt real bad about it. That's why I drew a sad face on it.
No one takes me seriously. I've been working here since the 7th grade.
That is not the flex you think it is.
I've always thought of myself as over 40 at heart. I don't get why you're getting a degree in accounting. All you do is talk about making movies.
Accounting is basically like the film of numbers. See?
That was the saddest thing I've ever said.
Saddest thing I've ever said is one ticket for Space Jam 2.
Sorry if I haven't seemed stoked to be suddenly working the same job I had in high school, just so I can afford the studio apartment I had to rent because I caught my husband Aaron on a date with a 25-year-old, also named Aaron.
Why is that worse?
I don't know, but it is.
I put everything I had into this store. Because it's the only place that's ever felt like home.
Blockbuster on 3!
Just so you know, I am aware of your feelings towards Eliza.
I mean, are you like picking up a vibe or something, love?
This is so fun.
This calls for another drink.
You're a business owner. You did the whole 30 twice. And you smell good. Timmy, you are in your prime right now.
Yeah, what's it like living such a dream?
Well, you know, it has its ups and downs.
Don't fall for it.
Sarcasm.
She almost got you.
Come on, man. The last man standing.
November 3rd, Blockbuster. After learning he is managing the last Blockbuster video in America, Timmy and his employees fight to stay afloat. Blockbuster Season 1, starring Randall Park and Melissa Fumero, premieres November 3rd, only on Netflix. I just think it looks like fun.
It, and I like that actor.
Yes.
He's been on several things. He was also the interviewer on the movie, or the TV show of The Rock, who's running for president on that show.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The Young Rock.
Young Rock.
I don't think I've finished watching the first season of that yet.
It's a good show, but more or less, I like that guy. He's been on several things, and he's very affable in all things he does, you know, likable. Yeah.
He's such a likable type
that's
character
exactly
guy,
right.
He
is. Kind of a, I don't know if you want to say character actor, but he just plays the same type
he's a type, and he's very affable type,
very
a lovable type, a charming guy that he'd be like your best friend.
Yeah, he seems like kind of like would be your neighbor type of dude that you see him and you just, hey, how you doing? Oh, doing good.
You totally root for him in this series.
Yeah.
And he's kind of he's very much the underdog in this story. But, you know, there you go. You're going to end up rooting for him.
Yeah.
I'm excited to check this series out.
Ouch.
All right. Here's something else that, you know, I haven't ever even finished the first season of Picard. I heard the second season wasn't good. But dadgummit, if they didn't hook me with a teaser for the third season
I'm going to tell you about season 2. It does have some very good things near the end, especially, that will get you.
Okay. But here we go. They teased the third one at the New York Comic Con.
Yes.
Thank you. Admiral. I received a distress call from Beverly Crusher.
We are being hunted.
Who is it out there?
I don't know.
We must run.
From what?
How very precise with your timing, Jean-Luc Picard.
You should know that I now prefer pacifism to combat.
We're all gonna die.
They are blind to something big.
It will be what it always was, attempts on your life.
War for right.
like you wrote them into this too?
I was once like her. Irrational, violent.
The Forge! Gun it! Stay inside!
Aye, sir.
There's a darkness on this ship. All-consuming darkness.
I'll peck. And I'll jab. Everything that makes you, you.
We will scorch the earth under which he stands, and the night will brighten with the ashes of the Federation.
But first, we will have vengeance.
Fire everything we've got!
Greetings, old friends.
Lore. So I don't know this main villain. I have no idea who she is, but it's cool to see Lore back, and also Moriarty for that one episode in The Next Generation where Moriarty becomes sentient out of Sherlock Holmes' program because he was trying to find Data's trying to find a way that the program could actually defeat him.
I remember that.
But Moriarty became kind of a good guy by the end, so I'm kind of wondering if they're getting Moriarty to help because Moriarty was able to leave the holodeck and become real.
That was a great episode.
It is a great episode.
Next Generation is so great. I go back and forth. The first two, talking about the original and Next Generation, I adore them so much. I love them both so much. There's things about the original that is my favorite. There's things about the Next Generation. If it hadn't been for the original, of course, there'd be no Next Generation. Man. But there's things about the Next Generation, if it hadn't been for that, the original would never have become what it is.
Yeah.
But those two are my favorite. I don't. That's not to say I don't like any of the others, but man, those first two series are just
amazing.
Can't beat them. I mean, just can't beat them.
And this third season is pretty much what we would all want from a new Picard series is that we get the old cast back. We got the Enterprise F.
Yes.
You know, I'm a holy cow, man.
I can't wait. And I've actually enjoyed
February 16th, man.
I enjoyed the first season and I liked the second season. I didn't love it, but I liked it. I do like the characters in it, but it's still like, man, I keep waiting to get a lot of the old band back together. So that's why I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, and they suckered me in when I looked at this. I was like, oh man, I am in.
Yeah.
But all right, we gotta move through. I'm skipping one of the trailers I was going to show because I don't think we could cover it on the show. But here's one we can definitely cover. And this was almost a surprise. This looks absolutely amazing. The Super Mario Brothers movie.
King of the Koopas!
Open the gates!
Attack!
That is but a taste of our fury.
Do you yield?
I do not. I finally found it. Now who's gonna stop me?
Oh.
sorry. That one's perfectly fine. Come on, Mario!
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come!
Coming to theaters April the 7th.
I'm really excited about that.
When we heard about it and people were kind of fussing, Chris Pratt's playing Mario and people were already, it's like, hey, give it a chance. We haven't seen anything yet.
And Jack Black sounds perfect.
Jack Black is Bowser.
So
cool.
I've seen him on stage giving lines and stuff and he was so into it. So into it.
Yeah.
And he's enjoying himself. And I like that.
Face
I like
your microphone.
I like that he's so into it. He's so excited about it. I'm like, that's great, man. He was like, I said, he was all into it. He has this great big beard right now. And he's so living into it. And like, he was living the character. He's all like, here's what I'm going to do. And he might as well put the crown on while he's talking to these people here.
And I can see what, I think people were concerned that Chris Pratt was going to do a voice similar to the games. And I think some people wanted to have the game voices instead. And I understand that. But what Chris Pratt seems to be doing is just being Chris Pratt. But if you think about it, they're Italian-American plumbers living in the Bronx. If they have anything, they'd have like a Bronx accent, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like what John Leguizamo and Bob Hoskins did. Mm-hmm. Is they were just kind of Bronx. They shouldn't be this over time.
Yeah.
Overly done kind of a, it's a me.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
It really probably shouldn't be like that. It doesn't really make sense.
And foolishly, John Leguizamo is all angry that you don't have your Hispanic American guy playing it, Latino, I meant to say, playing it, and like he was in the film. And I was like,
but were playing an Italian guy, John.
Yeah, and I was like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
But to each their own, I just think it's very strange.
But this looks so much fun. I don't know who's voicing Luigi. They list the whole cast list.
Oh, I know who it is.
Who is Luigi?
What's his name? I love the guy. The guy from...
I'm going to have to... IMDb this thing real quick.
Yeah, all of a sudden my brain is gone away from me. The guy from I can see him right now. That show that I watch with James Damir once in a while.
Somebody named Charlie Day.
Charlie Day, I love Charlie Day.
His voice in Luigi. I have no idea who Charlie Day is. I'm gonna look him up.
Yeah, the show with Danny DeVito. Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah, he's on Always Sunny, Mythic Quest, The Cool Kids, Fist Fights.
Oh, I'm sure you've seen him. Charlie Day is hilarious.
How to Be a Gentleman, Boldly Going Nowhere, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Barry Nichols, Danny DeVito in The Contract.
He's the goofy one on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I don't watch that show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got nothing on that one.
Charlie Day is great. I'm sure you've seen
him. But it's nice, though, to see Luigi, and he's getting to do it because Luigi's got his own game series, the Luigi's Mansion, where he's fighting ghosts and stuff. Getting to see him going around with the Koopa skeletons and stuff and running into a castle makes me think they might use some Luigi's Mansion stuff for Luigi to go through. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I haven't played a whole lot of Mario games here in the last decade.
I don't know how they're going to do it on this, but Charlie Day has kind of a high-pitched voice where he goes
that kind of fits for Luigi.
Yeah, he goes, hey, guys! You know, he talks like that sometimes.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a great voice. He really is. He'll be perfect for this.
And that's the sound that means it's time for our main topics. I know we've already run over an hour, but we got to first the main one, Angela Lansbury. And I pulled up some factoids on Angela Lansbury when she passed away at 96 years old. She was Irish, British, and American actress and singer who played various roles across film, stage, and television. Her career, much of it in the United States, spanned 8 decades, and her work received much international attention. At the time of her death, she was one of the last surviving stars from the golden age of Hollywood cinema. She was the recipient of numerous accolades, including 6 Tony Awards, including a Lifetime Achievement Award, 6 Golden Globe Awards, a Laurence Olivier Award, and the Academy Honorary Award, in addition to nominations for 3 Academy Awards, 18 Primetime Emmy Awards, and a Grammy Award.
Oh, wow.
Born, the year of birth was 1925. Angela Brigid Lansbury from Regent's Park, London, England. My goodness. Now, where I'm at here, I don't see a long list of like every movie she was ever in, but some like the highlights. Apparently, she did have a role in It's a Wonderful Life. But I don't know who she was. Yeah, I don't know, but I've been told that quite a few times. But the main ones, I mean, bed knobs and broomsticks.
Yes, yes.
Heck fire, dude. There you go.
You know, the court jester? She played a villain in that.
And I know I've seen that movie at least once.
Yes. Have that, you know. Yeah. And the court jester, she played kind of the villain. But she was always pretty, even as a villain. But she was that's such a great show. I love that movie. But she was in that. I didn't know that as a kid. I didn't realize it was her because I always knew from Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah. And we're used to her being an older lady.
Yeah.
Instead of when we see her young, you're like, that's Angela Lansbury.
And she was pretty, you know, but we didn't realize, you know, because we always knew, and not that she wasn't pretty when she was older, she was. But, you know, you don't think of people like that when they're older.
When you're young.
You know, we're young, you know.
But part of her beauty was her personality that always came through. She was just a beautiful, sweet person. And you could tell it all the time. She was like the ultimate grandmother.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I think the very first thing I saw her on was Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that and Murder, She Wrote. My grandmother used to love watching Murder, She Wrote.
Well, I knew that a lot with my grandma. We used to watch it together a lot. In fact, I felt really weird when she passed away because you remember this, just 2 days before I mentioned on Facebook, I saw somebody had a thing about her just turning 96. And I said, man, I just love that woman. I said, my grandma and I used to watch her all the time together on Murder, She Wrote and other things. And I said, so having her around it makes me feel like I still have a little bit of my grandmother. And then just 2 days later, there she went. And I was like, oh man. It's funny how little things will make you feel like people you love is still around just a little bit. Like, for instance, just this morning I watched, sounds silly probably, but I watched the old show Hee Haw, and just watching that made me feel like I had my father with me a little bit. I guess that's the way some things are. They just take you back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But of course, the other big one, Beauty and the Beast. Mrs. Potts.
Yes, yes.
Which, that reminds me of a side note. I've always said, you know, because I have to divide what my favorite of a particular type of film would be. And I've said for years that the Beauty and the Beast was my favorite of the animated Disney features. But I've realized I'm wrong. So I was listening to Cinema Story Origins, used to be known as Disney Story Origins, and he's covering Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
And I realized, you know what? Since I was a kid, I've absolutely adored the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. So I was like, you know what? Winnie the Pooh, I guess, is probably my, because that's the one always has a little place in my heart. So that's probably my number one. But Beauty and the Beast is still of the 90s era.
Yes.
That's where I'm going to say it's like still my favorite of the 90s era.
Peter Pan was always my favorite. Yeah, oh, God, I love that one. And Winnie the Pooh is my favorite more of the, I don't know what you would call that, but because Winnie the Pooh is nothing like the Peter Pan type.
Yeah. Well, except for it's that childhood innocence and not wanting to leave it. That's similarity between Winnie the Pooh and Neverland.
Yeah. With Winnie the Pooh, it's the kind to me that is just so, it just makes you feel safe and
it feels good. And yes, they're nighttime stories, but yeah, I don't want to divert too far on that direction. We might have to do a whole show on it sometime. Yeah. But
with Angela Lansbury, I think one of the things that did so well with her in Beauty and the Beast was also the fact that she sang that song.
Yes.
And that's the theme song that really, for the whole movie, that's the one.
That's the one.
That's the song right there.
Yes. And she had a lot of great bits in the other songs, but you know, off to the cupboard with you now, Chip, it's past your bedtime. I mean, who else do you get to do that? I mean,
I remember the first time I saw that movie, and she's singing that. And here's the truth, it's not just the first, several times I saw it, but every time she sings that song, I always tear up a little bit.
Yeah,
just how she
did it.
It's
just a good one. Yep, it's just so warm and just it was fantastic. She was a treasure.
Yeah, so love her. Every time I saw, in fact, here's another thing, we're watching, the Mary Poppins, did I say Mary Poppins? Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, Mary Poppins Returns.
Mary Poppins Returns. Well, I didn't love it, but I liked it. And whenever she is in the park near the end, she's in the park, I teared up again. Because I was like, this might be the last time I see her on the big screen. And, you know, it was the last time I saw her on the big screen. But I remember seeing her on that. It just really filled my heart with joy to see her. I was like, man, she's just one of the greatest. She really is. She's just one of the greatest I've ever seen. Just so full of, I guess I should say love, because that woman, you could just see it in her. She's just so great.
Yeah. And I like this little paragraph here. It says, as a young actress, Lansbury was a self-professed homebody who commented that she loved housekeeping. Yeah. She preferred to spend quiet evenings with her friends inside her house because she did not like to engage in the Hollywood nightlife. Her hobbies at the time included reading, writing, playing tennis, cooking, and playing the piano. And she also had a keen interest in gardening. Cited F. Scott Fitzgerald as her favorite author and Rosanna Seinfeld among her favorite television shows.
That's wonderful.
Lansbury was an avid letter writer who wrote letters by hand and made copies of all of them. At Howard Gottlieb's request, Lansbury's papers are housed at the Howard Gottlieb Archival Research Center at Boston University. And Lansbury passed away in her sleep at her home in Los Angeles, California, on October the 11th.
I'm very thrilled that she didn't go through pain. She just went in peacefully.
Just went in her sleep. How nice is that?
That's beautiful.
And there's just a long list of movies and honors. But I got somebody else that we got to talk about. Now, when I first saw Robbie Coltrane, I didn't know he was Robbie Coltrane.
Yes.
I didn't know him by name until I saw a movie called Nuns on the Run that he was in with, I think, Eric Idle. And I was watching because Eric Idle I was familiar with. But Robbie Coltrane, first thing I saw him in, little movie called Kroll that did not do well in theaters, but became a cult hit. Yeah,
I saw it in the theater.
Yeah. It had an arcade game, which became an Atari game. But he, and I remember he had one line about, you know, the only thing they're going to get from this adventure is a sword in their bellies or something like that. You know? But yeah, I didn't realize it was him until later on when I watched the movie again. I was like, oh, hey, that's that Robbie Coltrane guy.
Yeah.
But of course, where most of us Americans are going to know him is Hagrid.
Yes.
Which somebody put together all the photos of all the actors we've lost from the Harry Potter franchise. And even one young actor, the guy who, Bilby from the Half-Blood Prince, he's sitting there eating ice cream. He's actually passed away.
Really?
That surprised me.
That's
but
hard to believe.
We've lost a lot of actors. I mean, Alan Rickman and John Hurt.
Oh, yes.
But now we've lost the great Robbie Coltrane.
Hey, he's been in so many things.
Yeah.
I've seen him.
Flash
so
Gordon in 1980, yes. Man at the Airfield.
Yeah, he was. And also, of course, James Bond. He was in a couple of
Valentine.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
And I still sometimes will notice him on other things, like, oh my gosh, I've been watching this for many years and didn't realize that he was in it.
Yeah.
Because it's funny how he always pretty much looks the same, except maybe as Hagrid, because he's, you know, pretty well disguised.
All the makeup and the wig and trying to make him seem bigger than he was.
It's funny, he looks the same, and yet somehow he looks different.
Yeah.
He's just good that way.
Wow, looky there. And that Van Helsing movie from 2004, he was the voice of Mr. Hyde.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in here. My goodness. Okay, there's Nana's on the Run, but his character was named Rune in Kroll, and that wasn't the first thing he did, because that was 83. His first thing is Flash Gordon, Man at Airfield.
Oh, yeah.
National Lampoon's European Vacation, I never have seen that one.
Oh, I have that one. It's Henry, we'll say.
Yeah. Henry V, he played Falstaff in 1989. I believe I may have seen that one.
I've seen that one. Goodness. I have that one. I own it.
Adventures of Huck Finn in 1993, he played Duke.
Yes.
And, of course, GoldenEye, 1995, Valentin Dimitrov Zhukovsky.
That's a good one.
Played it again in The World Is Not Enough, which I believe he dies in that one, doesn't he?
He gets
killed by the villainous
and,
in there. And he fires that one last shot to free James Bond.
I did
Bond.
Not want him to go. I thought, no, man.
He was such a great character.
I was
character.
Ready to see him come back for some more. I really liked that character. Yeah. Of course, it's him, and I liked him, you know. I did. I've seen him on a few other things.
He was the voice of Lord Dingwall in Brave.
Ah.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. The Tale of Despero, he is a voice of Gregory. He did actually a lot of voices, but he had a great voice, though, anyway. So lots of great roofs. Oh, even I forgot. Yes, Blackadder the Third.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Played Samuel Johnson in Episode 2, Ink and Incapability. He was the guy who had written the encyclopedia, and they'd accidentally burned it, and Blackadder was trying to write it. For those of you who are not familiar, this was one of Rowan Atkinson's series before he did Mr. Bean. And it's very funny. It's got some honorary bits, some episodes. Yeah. British humor is sometimes a little raunchy. But it's a very funny series, and like every season was like a different era.
I
forgot
that.
Robbie Coltrane was in Blackadder. I was actually just watching that last week. Yep. So, yeah, he was such a funny, warm, affable is our word. Mm-hmm. We like affable characters. Even when he was playing a
villain.
Kind of a villain. So, like, Valentin kind of was, you know, he was a ex-KGB who had become a mafia guy and crime boss. But he was so affable, even though you were afraid, oh, he could kill James Bond. But he's just likable.
He turned it around, and he was very good.
Yeah.
Even as a bad, he was good. He was a likable, unlikable.
Yeah. I'm very bad, but you must admit I was very, very, very good at it. Yeah. Which of course I'm lifting a line from the great Halle Berry from the Flintstones
That's
movie.
Right.
But yeah, Robbie Coltrane. Oh, that was a surprise loss. And I remember I was at work and I was talking to our chief meteorologist, and I saw it on one of the monitors in the weather center on our the KQ2 website. And I saw that, and I just stopped what I was doing. I was like, oh, Robbie Coltrane passed away at 72, which I don't think they've released.
I didn't know he was that old, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I knew he was kind of up there.
Well, sure, but some people hold their age well. For instance, Rowan Atkinson. Rowan Atkinson, even when he was in his 30s, looked like he was in his 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a good thing. I mean, it's a bad thing for that poor man. Well, we were talking about Steve Martin the other day. This is a man.
His hair's been white.
He's been white since he was in his early. He's in his 30s.
Yeah, maybe if maybe his 20s. I don't know.
So because
I
of that,
know, he was such a jerk back then.
Oh, stop it, son. No, so because of that, that poor man, you know, in a good way. Richard Dreyfuss is another one, because they had the early gray and white and all that. Their age kind of sneaks up on you, so you don't really realize how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Yep. But it says here Coltrane suffered from osteoarthritis in his later life.
Oh,
said he was in constant pain all day, and in 2016, and then from 2019, he employed a wheelchair. October 14th. Coltrane died at Forth Valley Royal Hospital in Larbert, Scotland, at the age of 72. He'd been ill for 2 years prior to his death. Now, they have not said what that illness was.
Of course, so.
But, yeah, poor guy. But we will always remember mainly his contributions. Who else could have played Rubeus Hagrid but Robbie Coltrane?
I can't imagine
anybody else.
He was my absolute... Before I really got into Harry Potter, and I'd already seen the film, it took me a while to get into it, but before I did, he was my absolute... Him and Alan Rickman were my absolute favorite parts of the film.
Yes, indeed. Definitely. That was some of the... Well, of course, I really loved the original Dumbledore as well.
Richard Harris. Well, me too. I take it back. Yeah. Yes. Richard Harrison.
Especially after seeing him in Gladiator.
Oh, yes. Oh,
he was so great for that small part, but oh my goodness.
Well, anything Richard Harris is in.
He was so great. There's a lot of great actors that they got in there. John Hurt, even. I mean, there are a lot of great actors have been in the Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah.
And what's fun is when you go back and watch something like Blackadder, you find a lot of these old actors. Even the actress who played, the plants.
Yeah.
She pops up in nearly every series of Blackadder. Mm. Man, but yeah, you find a lot, like in Doctor Who and Blackadder, you will find some people who have been in Harry Potter have popped up on Doctor Who or something.
Yeah,
I bet Robbie Coltrane is somewhere in Doctor Who, but I didn't see it on the list.
My mother watches a lot of English shows, mostly detectives and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's amazing, like, she'll be walking in, I'll walk in to the kitchen, I'll walk through there, and I'll see she's in the living room. Watching, I'm like, oh, there's a Harry Potter guy. Oh, there's a Harry Potter guy. Oh, there's a Harry Potter lady. Oh, there. It's like every 2 days she goes, isn't on Harry Potter? Oh, well, Mom, pretty much none of them. So anytime there's a Limey on the set, there. And by the way, Limey's, I'm saying in a kind way, an English actor. Anytime there's a Limey on your TV, I'm pretty much going to tell they're going to be on Harry Potter. Why? Yeah. Because it's an English thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
They really piled as much England in there as they could. But anyways, we probably better wrap this up because we've been at this for an hour and 17 minutes now.
Sure.
So, of course, we would like to thank Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of the Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Wilhite and Wall Show for their help in the intro that I usually use, but we didn't use it today.
But out of respect.
Out of respect, I'm still thankful for their help. Remember, you can email us at podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter, NeverlandPcast. We have a Facebook group and a fan page. And, of course, you can donate to our Patreon, patreon.com/NeverlandPodcast. Also, if you go to NeverlandPodcast.com, about halfway down the page, you'll see a thing for my podcast reviews. That's a great way to come and be able to leave a review for me or to at least, check out our reviews and sign up for, if you happen to have a podcast, you want to see all your reviews internationally. It's a very handy type of thing. I need to actually renew my membership. I had to drop my membership here this last month. Money's been a little tight. So that when money's tight, it's a good time for you to donate to Patreon to help me keep this show going, because right now I do finance this myself. I have a lot of fees that I incur, but I love making this show for you. I have fun making it. I have fun getting it to you, and I have fun hearing back from you. So make sure you do hear back. Heck, you know what? I'm on Instagram. If you look for the Spider Fan on Instagram and on TikTok, you can even follow me on there. But yeah, that wraps things up here. So there's only one last thing to say. You know what that is?
Yes.
I thought he was going to say it.
Get lost. Awesome. Get lost.
Get lost. In an adventure.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.